Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title to today's message is Shut Up. Hopefully it'll make more sense by the end. It's not just what you think it is. But I want to talk to you today about the tongue and look at some verses. And lest you think, oh, I've read all these verses, I know all about this. I'm not so much interested in what you know. I'm interested in what you do and what you say. Because this is one of the most practical things that I will ever go over with you. Because it affects every day of our lives, every relationship we have, and in a lot of ways, every conversation we have with people along the way. And it's easier to talk about someone than it is to talk to God about someone or talk to someone about God. It's easier to get off here and talk about Him. And frankly, guys, when I get around people who talk about other people, I don't trust them. Because I figure if you're talking about somebody else with me there, when I'm not there, you're going to talk about me. And if you're that easily prone, if it's that easy for you to talk about someone else in a negative way, then it's going to be just as easy for you to talk about me in a negative way when I'm not around. We reveal who we are in some very not so subtle ways just by the conversations we have. So let's move through this and let's start with Ephesians chapter 4. And you'd be amazed how much the Bible says about just your speech and what you say. And I'm going to highlight some of these, run through these, and hopefully not just, you know, it's one thing to say, well, you shouldn't talk bad about people, you shouldn't say these things, have these conversations, but if you understand biblically the consequence to these things, it will change your conversations, I hope, and when you see it in a minute, you'll know why. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to start or look in this passage at verse 25. And this specific passage, the context here, he's talking about the fact that you're a new person, that you ought to put off who you used to be and put on like a piece of clothing this new person that you are. Don't be the old man, verse 24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then verse 25, look what he says. Therefore, because you're a new person, you put on this new man, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now this is going to sound, the whole deal is not about lying, but I'm going to tell you what, guys. I know people who just lie like a snake all the time. And you think, well, nobody knows I'm lying. Everybody knows you're lying. You think nobody knows you're lying. You know how people know you're lying if you're some kind of a pathological liar, maybe not that extreme? Because your stuff doesn't match up. One of the best reasons for telling the truth is you don't have to remember what you said. And people that lie all the time have to always remember what they said and who they told what to. If you just tell the truth, all you got to do is remember the truth and tell the truth again, and you're right where you're supposed to be. You say, well, I've already concocted all this stuff. I've already built all this stuff. People think I'm this or that or have done this or been there and know these people. What'll I do? Tell the truth. Because if they love you for the lies anyway, they don't really love you. And if they love you once you tell the truth, then you know who your friends are and you can move forward. But don't live a lie and don't speak lies, especially to one another, he says. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members one of another. We belong to each other. We're connected to each other as a body of Christ. Spiritually, we are connected. Don't lie to each other. I mean, I don't even know what I did, but I was carrying the baby through the house and kind of was in the dark, went through this little door in the kitchen. There's this molding, about 4-inch molding down there on the floor, and I was barefoot and went to the left. I think my second toe in from the little one is basically green. It's busted. It's probably broken. I don't know what it is, and I was hobbling around. You know what? If my toe said to my brain, we're okay, you know what? It can't happen. Because I know my toe's not okay. Parts of my body can't lie to other parts of my body. When something's going on, it is so obvious, we all just say, okay, you know what, the toe's hurt, let's take care of the toe. And keep everybody away from my toe, don't get near me, or I'll step on your toe, kind of thing. I'm injured, that's the truth. If something's going on with you, tell the truth about it. You say, but I can't do that, I'm too far into it. Get out. Start telling the truth, and he says, especially to one another, with our neighbors, we're members one of another. All right, let me show you, go on down to verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. This is how this one comes out with me. I don't play a lot of golf. Every once in a while, I play golf. Twice a year, maybe. And most people that play golf with me never ask me to go back. One of my favorite things is to go out and play golf with some guys that I don't know. Because usually you get out with a bunch of guys, and there's beer involved, and there's lots of, you know, it's not about golf. It's a big party out there. So these guys get out there, and I don't say a word. I put on my golf shoes and stuff and get out there, and I ride around, and nobody says a word until about the ninth hole, some guy who's about, you know, two or three sheets into it looks at me and says, "Hey, what do you do?" And I smile and look at him and say, "Well, I'm a pastor." Oh, you know, they're just backing up. I mean, he's running tapes for nine holes, every cuss word, every story, everything. And I'll always look at him and say, hey, it's no big deal. You know, don't feel bad. You're just being yourself. You just be yourself. Don't worry about me. I'm just out here playing golf. Why is it people freak out? Let me tell you something, guys. You may not cuss around me around certain people, but if there's corrupt stuff coming out of your mouth, he says, don't let it happen. Now, I'm not saying do this the rest of your life. Try today. And every time you go to say something that it sounds corrupted, something corrupt coming out of your mouth, say, wait a minute, I don't want to talk that way. I can tell you a lot about a person by just following them around for 5, 10, 15 minutes. Just listen to them talk. How much they talk, what they talk about, what they say, what kind of language they use, how they talk about people, how men talk about women, how women talk about men. Man, you say, well, you're judged now. I'm just listening. It's pretty obvious what's going on with you just by what you say. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So this is what you ought to say and what you ought to talk about. Things that are good for necessary edification, that build someone up, encourage them, that it may impart grace to the people that hear it. When your mouth opens and you speak, does grace come out, and does it build people up or does it tear people down? Now, what does gossip do, all this evil speaking? It tears people down. That's the intent a lot of times of the conversation. And the worst, in a spiritualized way, one of the worst categories of this is this. Some of us say, well, you know, we need to be praying for brother so-and-so because he's really having problems, and they go naming these areas. You're gossiping. You don't give a rip about that person. It's couching it in some kind of prayer category. Now we got prayer over the heading. Now we'll just go after him and tell all this gory details of the deal. Keep your mouth shut if it's not building someone up. And if you're so concerned about somebody, let me tell you how you know whether you're really concerned about somebody you're talking about. Number one, you have talked to God about them before you've talked to anybody else about them. And number two, if you're really that concerned, you've talked to them about them before you've talked to somebody else about them. And if you've talked to God about them and to them about them, you've gotten their permission to talk to somebody else about them. And when you do it, it's not tearing them down. It's really recruiting help and encouragement in some way to build this situation and this person up. Does this make sense? And it seems so fun. It is moment. All sin is momentary pleasure. And you get in a conversation and somebody starts taking that pickaxe and going after another person. And you say, well, I got some scoop here. Listen to what I heard. And you throw it in the conversation. And then all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, I feel terrible. I shouldn't have said that. I'm tearing this person apart. And the consequences of it hit you. Don't do it. You say, well, what do I do? Sometimes you just walk away. What do you say? Well, you people are talking bad about a friend of mine. I'm walking away from this. I mean, you don't always have to do that. You just, you know, I got to go to the John or something. You get out of there. Or if you feel comfortable, you say, you know what, guys, look, I've been as guilty, you know, I've done this before. I just don't feel comfortable the way this conversation's going because we're tearing this person up. This isn't going to help anything. Now, see, we all maybe enjoy it momentarily when we're doing it, but you don't like being the person talked about. You don't like being the person destroyed. You don't like being the person torn down and ridiculed, because a lot of times it's hearsay anyway. What is hearsay? You hear something and you say it. That's foolish. Well, I heard this. It must be true. It's like these people say, well, it was in the Inquirer. It must be true. It's in print. Just because something in print does not mean it's true unless it's right here in this book. Everything else you better question and check out. If it's here, it's true. Anything beyond that, I want some documentation. If I got a question, I'll ask the person if they're still alive to ask. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Now that's good advice. Put away all this stuff. Don't have it in your life anymore. Get it out of there. Get it out of your conversations. Anything that's bitterness, you better get it out of there. Are you angry, wrath, clamor, evil speaking? Get it out of there. Even if there is someone that has wronged you, you don't have a right to talk wrong about someone that's wronged you, even if you feel like you're right. I can't repeat that, but anyhow, that's what it is. You're angry, you feel something, you get in a conversation, the person's not there, they've done something, you go to rip them up, you say, you know what, God, don't let me do that. It's not going to help the situation. You think you're going to feel better, but it really takes your power away, and I'll show you that in a minute. All right, turn over to James chapter 3. Guys, words have power. Words have unbelievable power. And you can tear somebody up just like that, but you can build somebody up with simple little words. Husbands and wives, now listen close. Men are terrible about this stuff. And I was lucky to grow up in a home where my dad did this. But a man can change a home by saying three little words. I love you. You guys think, well, I'm going to say that. She knows that. So what? Tell her. Make it a point once a day to look at your wife or people you love. Pick up the phone today. Call your mom and dad. You know, I don't have a reason to call them. Yeah, you do. Just call them and say, I love you. You know what that'll do to a mama today? You could make your mama's day by calling her and saying, I love you. I'm going to give you six, I think it is, other ones. And I have to suck it up to say these, but here we go. I was wrong. I am sorry. Now, those are powerful words. I give you nine words that can change the world. And you use those instead of all this other stuff you're ripping people up with. There are simple little words that have meaning and have power in somebody's life. Where you look at some little kid, you know what? Little kids don't hear this. You did a great job. And what I tell my little girls, you can be anything God wants you to be. Anything God wants you to be. Speak words that have power to people. God loves you. You think, well, everybody knows that? No, they don't. Tell them that. Simple stuff. Now listen to how strong this is. James 3, we're going to start with verse 1. We're going to read fast, so track along with me. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a complete man, able also to bridle the whole body. If you can handle your words, chances are you can handle your body. Guys, I'm telling you, you're giving yourself away. You show me somebody can't handle their mouth, I'll show you somebody can't handle their body. You got trouble somewhere else in your life. If your mouth is out of control, your life is out of control, the Bible says. You think, well, how are these people? He's so smart and discerning. I just read the Bible. I read the Bible and look at my life and yours and go, I tell you exactly what's up with so-and-so. I'm not judging. I'm just looking. I'm listening. I'm watching according to what it says. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Big things with little parts that turn them. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. So he talks about a horse, he talks about a ship, then he talks about a fire. You strike a match, you know, you can burn a million acres up with one match. And he compares the tongue to this. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. It is a world of iniquity or sin. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. What you say, what you speak can literally defile your whole body, the scripture says. And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So you've got either good communication and words coming out of your mouth or bad, and if they're bad, that tongue is set on fire by hell itself, it says. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile or creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now let me give you some deadly poison. You'll never amount to anything. Don't think it hurts the team. I almost died when you were born. That may have been true, guys, but don't tell your kids that. You know what that sounds like? You almost killed me. That's what a sorry piece of work you are. You almost killed me. You say, well, I didn't mean it that way. That's what kids hear. And if I went around the room today and asked you what you heard or what you didn't hear, this room's full of it. Things that people said in moments of anger but were repeated and repeated. A kid hears it and says, you know what? Maybe that's true. If my dad thinks that, it's probably true. If my mom said that, it's probably true. That's what I am. I'll never be anybody. I'll never amount to anything. Deadly poison. And it kills that person, their spirit, their will, everything about them. Verse 8 again, "But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God." In 1 second, we're praising, singing the songs to God, you know, reading scripture, whatever, and then we turn around the next second and we're cursing someone, speaking evil of someone that's made in God's image. "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." It shouldn't even be possible out of the same mouth to bless God or someone and then turn around and curse somebody. "Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." How do you lie against the truth? You're bitter and somebody says, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine." "You seem angry." "Oh, I'm not angry. I'm a Christian." "Well, you still seem angry." "No, I told you I'm not angry." "Well, or you seem a little upset." "I'm not upset." You know, and the more you talk about it, the worse it gets. You are lying against the truth. The truth is you are bitter. The truth is you do have envy. So say, "God, the truth is I'm bitter. I'm envious. This is what's going on. I'm not going to lie anymore about what's really going on. Not even lie to you, much less to somebody else." "Do not boast and lie against the truth," he says. Verse 15, "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic." That's where it comes from. All right, turn over to James chapter 4, verse 11. "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Now, we're getting into this thing about judging and speaking words of judgment on somebody else. "There is one lawgiver." Who is that? That is God. "Who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" You are not a judge. There's only one lawgiver, only one judge, and that's God. So that means I cannot judge anybody. I don't have that authority or that right. All right, we're going to read another one in Romans in a minute, but look at James 5:9. Just turn the page, if you're maybe right there. James 5:9. "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, and he is the judge." Don't grumble. Don't complain. Don't murmur. "Well, old so-and-so, yakety-yak-yak-yak-yak-yak-yak-yak-yak-yak. I don't like they do that." Then pray it'll change. Quit yakking. Or make a comment to somebody and a suggestion and see if it'll change. Encourage the person. Build it up. Don't tear it down. Now, I'm going to tell you part of the reason I'm doing this. Because this is an insipid thing that seeps into churches and into relationships, into families. And people start, see, if you have no intent of changing your life, you're going to change everything around you. And it ain't going to change, so you're going to start complaining about how everything around you is bad and all up messed up, and everything's okay with you, but the world's screwed up. And if I just changed the whole world, I'd be happy. It ain't going to happen. Say, "God, I can't even take care of me. I can't even change me, much less another person. Give me wisdom to see that and listen to you and to talk to you, and let's work out my stuff. Change me even if nobody around me changes." Romans chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read just a few verses here. But let me tell you something before we get into this. I opened Microsoft Word in my notes. I typed "shut up" and I did a thesaurus search for "shut up." And it gave me all these synonyms. Let me read you some of these synonyms. Imprison, confine, enclose, incarcerate, jail, put behind bars, lock up. Didn't have anything in there about being quiet or silent. Every reference was to putting someone behind bars, incarceration, in jail. Now let me tell you what happens. When you don't shut up and you keep speaking this stuff to people, what you're doing is trying to lock them up or lock them out of your life. You're pushing them away. You're tearing them down. You're putting them in jail. But what you don't realize when you do this, you're not putting them anywhere. You're locking yourself up. Now let me read this to you. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge." You are without excuse, he says. No excuse, you who are judging. "For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself." You condemn someone. You condemn them to jail. You sentence them. You put them away. You shut them up. But the problem here is when you don't shut up, you shut up yourself. Now, do you see this? You're not hitting somebody else, although you think you're getting them by saying these things. When you judge someone else, you condemn yourself. You sentence yourself, it says. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Now, I've gone over this before, but I'm going to go over it again because I think it's important. Every time you find yourself in your head or with your hand pointing a finger, judging someone else, it is God's way of saying, I'm glad you noticed that about them because I've been trying to get your attention about the same thing in your own life. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? When you judge and you don't deal with your own stuff, you put yourself under God's judgment. You put yourself under His punishment, His correction. And then when you think you're pointing at somebody else saying, you need to change, you can't change anybody. You can't even change yourself. I have trouble keeping my own mind, my own body, my own mouth straight without fixing somebody else's. Woe is me, I'm undone, Isaiah said in Isaiah 6. Man, God, it's not about them. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Fix me, work on me. Let's see what I can do with your help here. You're going to have to change me. Verse 4, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Now, how does this deal work? God comes along and we're angry, we're bitter, we're wagging fingers, we're pointing at people, we're saying this stuff about people. They're not around, they're around, wherever they are, we're speaking evil. And God says gently, He comes along and gently with kindness, and He says, you know, what are we doing here? And He gently tries to move us and say, that's not the problem. You see that problem in their life, that's the problem in your life. Let's work on you. And He gently leads us, it says here, to repent, to change our mind, to say, you know what, God, it's not them, it's me. Maybe they got problems. And if you read the story about the beam, there's a scripture that talks about if you have a beam in your eye, why are you trying to remove the speck in somebody else's eye, a little piece of dust? It doesn't say don't remove dust. It says first remove the beam that's in your own eye so that you can see more clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
We're supposed to be about removing specks. But when we go around wagging fingers and saying, well, you shouldn't do that, people go, what's up with you? Man, you're as screwed up as I am. Shut up. But when you deal with your own stuff and you say, God, you know what? I can't live this way anymore. I feel good for a minute when I judge somebody, but I condemn myself. I'm done. Let's work on me, God. I don't want anything coming out of my mouth. It's judgmental, evil, tearing down. I want to build people up. I want to encourage. I want my words to minister grace to people that are around me. Are there some people, do you know these people, you're around them, and you just go, man, it's just nice to hear them talk and to be around them, because when they speak, it's good stuff. They're kind words. And even when they say things that are harsh or a little tough, it's gentle. They're not taking an axe and operating on me. They're gently, surgically opening me up and saying, have you thought about this? This is what God did in my life, and I struggle with the same thing, and have you thought about this? And they gently, the way God deals with us, they deal with you and gently, kindly lead you to change your mind and say, you know what, maybe this isn't the best way. Why don't we try this? It's the same thing in regard to salvation. Somebody comes along and says, you're going to hell. Well, that may be true, but boy, that sounds like a hard way to go. But if somebody comes along and says, you know, have you thought about this? This is what happened to me. I realized my life was screwed up. And I realized I died. There's a heaven, a hell, and I'm headed one of two places. I just didn't know what to do about it. And someone sat down with me and explained to me, you know, if you don't get this thing right in your heart, you're going to end up somewhere. And the consequence is hell, or the benefit is heaven. But what do you do to get there? You got to say, God, man, I don't think you're trying to crush me. Anybody that would give their own son to die, be buried, shed his blood, be raised from the dead, got to be on my side. So God, if you love me that much, and I think you've been after me all these years, and you send people, some are pointing a finger and judgmental and harsh, but others are pretty gentle and trying to care about me, I get it, God. I believe you love me. I believe Jesus died for me. I want this gift of eternal life you're offering me. So he speaks words to you that are truth, and you speak words back to him that are truth. I don't have anything to offer. I can't fix my life. I got nothing but crap to give you and nothing but your life to take in return, so I take it. And you open up your heart, reach out the hands of your heart, and receive that gift of eternal life. That'll change your heart, and when he changes your heart, he changes your life, he changes your mouth. He changes everything about you in time.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.